cutting-edge cinema, award-winning filmmakers, historic downtown theaters. The Santa Fe Independent Film Festival is New Mexico True. Discover why the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival has been named one of the country's best, October 19th through 23rd. Plan your trip at newmexico.org/trueevents.
Hi, True Believers. This is Stan Lee, and I want to be sure to see you at my Los Angeles Super Comic-Con on October 28th to 30th. And be sure to use code MELTDOWN for 12% off your tickets. Excelsior!
Welcome to the History of the Batman with London, brought to you by Meltdown Comics and Collectibles in Hollywood, California. This is where we relive the defining moments of one of the most iconic figures of art and literature, the Batman. My name is Mason Booker, and as always, I am joined by London from the shadows. Maybe he'll say something, maybe he won't, we never know. We are joined by Shadow Adam. History of the Batman is produced and engineered by me, Mason Booker, and now co-host London. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Good.
I've been a little busy.
What's been going on?
It's actually about Kamikaze, which is now Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, which is awesome. That's the official con for LA, home. So
I'm totally psyched about that. I was a little annoyed that I had to go in and change the names of all of my headers on all of my documents, but that's okay.
No, it's fine. And I mean, but they have to change everything too. But now all of the logos and website, yeah, and everything's there. So if you do have to use a banner or a logo, they did that for you so nicely.
Yes.
And
you have a promo code for listeners.
Yes. If you're going to be in the Los Angeles area October 28th through the 30th, if you use the promo code Batman, you get 12% off of your purchase tickets.
Dope.
Which is awesome. And any discount is great. And of course, if you want to use another one, Meltdown Comics has its own promo code. If you use the code Meltdown, you get a discount as well.
But can you stack them?
No.
Oh, okay.
You can only use one. So if for some reason...
I was like, wait a minute.
No. You can't
22%
use,
off?
You can't use all of them. But either way, you get a discount.
Yeah, yeah.
So you should do that.
So
if you're
going to
go and buy tickets.
And you should come down so you can see London.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be doing several panels throughout the weekend.
Four panels.
Yeah, which is going to be great. And some of the guests that have already been announced, so I can tell you, I am hosting the Voices of DC Comics panel, which will include Hinden Walsh, who is the voice of Starfire on Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go. And she's
so
also
awesome.
The voice of Harley Quinn on the TV show The Batman and Batman Assault on Arkham.
So good.
Greg Sipes, who is the voice of Beast Boy on Teen Titans and Titans Go.
Excellent.
And also, so those two will be on the voice panel. I can't really announce the other people on that panel
yet.
Oh. But
suspense.
More people will be on that panel.
I'll just tell you, it's well worth attending this panel.
No.
Like, get in line ahead of time.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun and amazing. And I'm doing a Wonder Woman 75th anniversary panel, which has Susan Eisenberg, who was a guest on the show, who is the voice of Wonder Woman in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. And I have more guests for that panel that I will announce within the next week or two. And I am doing a Harley Quinn panel with the awesome power team of Amanda Conner and Jimmy Palmiotti, who is the artist and writer of Harley Quinn since 2011. They've been doing it for like 5 years. And that's one of the most popular books. And they are amazing. And I've seen them on panel before, so it'll be really fun. They love interacting with the audience. So if you come, you can definitely talk to them and ask them anything, and that'll be a really fun panel as well. And then, dun-dun-dun-dun, I'm doing a panel with Kevin Conroy, who is the voice of Batman. Yes,
I am
doing a spotlight with Kevin Conroy, so I'm going to be discussing his...
All you haters, you hear that? You hear what's going on there? One-on-one,
yeah,
in
so
person.
It's. I mean, the panels are going to
Kevin
be
Conroy,
amazing.
The real Kevin Conroy.
Yes,
the real Kevin Conroy.
Yes, and he will be signing all weekend, so he'll be there all weekend. So if you want to meet Kevin Conroy, you should come, and you can meet him, and then come to the panel, and we're just going to be talking about his Batman and why his Batman is pretty much amazing.
Is the Batman.
Yes, so I will be there all weekend. The Meltdown Podcast Network will be there all weekend, so you should definitely come and join us. It'll be really fun. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, yeah.
This is amazing. London, who do we have today?
This week we have a very special guest. He is an award-winning graphic designer and writer and illustrator of Batman comics and the design of Batman collected books such as Batmanga, The Secret History of Batman Japan. We have today with us Chip Kidd. So hello, Chip.
Hello, Chip.
Hi there. I should just note for the record that right now I'm in the last hour of New York Comic Con.
Yes.
2016.
Oh yeah. So, you're on the East Coast.
So I'm watching all. I'm literally watching, like, Batman and Superman shaking hands. Somebody actually made the new Flash costume from the Justice League movie. It's like,
wow.
It's not even going to be out for a year.
I know.
And it's really fast.
That's
dedication.
Cosplay is always amazing at cons. So has your experience at this year's New York Comic Con been good? What are some of the highlights real quick?
Well, it has been very good. Several of the highlights have been that I commissioned a Batman drawing from Bill Sienkiewicz.
Oh, wow.
And I commissioned it in San Diego last July.
Okay.
And I picked it up yesterday. And it's quite amazing. He posted it on my Facebook page, so your listeners can go and look at it there.
Okay.
It's incredible. It's basically Sienkiewicz's version of The Dark Knight and Carrie Kelly Robin.
Oh, that's awesome. That does sound great.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, well, I'm glad that you're having fun at New York Comic Con. I've seen all the updates and everything. We are still, of course, here in L.A., but New York Comic Con seems fantastic this year. So let's just jump right into it. I first just wanted to ask, how did you become involved in graphic design for book jackets? I mean, you haven't just done comics. You've done everything and worked with hundreds of people and have done beautiful covers and book jackets.
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
Well, I studied graphic design at Penn State University, 1982 to 1986. And when I graduated, I had a portfolio. And really, the only plan I had was I wanted to, you know, go to New York City and get a job doing graphic design. And other than that, I was, you know, open to whatever kind of graphic design. And so, long story short, the first substantial job I was offered was as assistant to the art director at Knopf Publishing, part of Random House. And it wasn't what I really had, you know, in mind, but I just thought, well, all right, I'll give it a shot and see how it goes. And yesterday I passed the 30-year mark there.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, man.
So I just started to work. And I enjoyed it, and you know, of course, entry level, you're not really designing right away, but eventually, you know, after about a year and a half, 2 years, I was designing, and it was like a pivotal moment in the history of the company, because there was a changing of the guard of the editor in chief, a guy named Sonny Maitis, and so I was getting really interesting books to work on after that, like right away. And one of which was the novel called Jurassic Park. And so my reputation sort of started to develop. And then I believe it was 1994, the then president of DC Comics, Jeanette Kahn, was asking somebody, they wanted a book cover designer because they were going to publish their first novel, just a text novel, words, about Batman by a guy named Andrew Back.
Ha ha.
And they, the art director there at the time, or the editor of that book within DC, contacted me, and that was my entrance into the comic book world. And, you know, it's sort of gone on from there ever since. So, yeah, all the stuff I do for DC Comics, it's all freelance work.
Right. Oh, so you're not... You're not employed. You're freelance.
Well, it's complicated. I'm employed at Random House. That is technically my day job.
Gotcha.
But I do some freelance for DC and then in some cases I've been able to blend the two. So that manga, for example, the Secret History of Batman in Japan, that was a Pantheon publication.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So I was able to bring that into that. I was able to make that part of my day job. Ditto a book I did on the DC Comics art of Alex Ross called Mythology.
Mythology.
Cool.
Which is a beautiful book, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty hard to go wrong with him.
That's amazing. So I mean, when I think about your book jackets and your covers, I of course think about covers of comic books because I think it's important to draw in either a new or familiar reader into the story. The cover a lot of times is the thing that's the first thing you see. It has to be engaging. Do you have that particular mindset when you're creating covers, book jackets for both novels and even Batman books?
Well, comic book covers are different by the nature of their monthly publication.
Right.
So, whereas the cover of a novel needs to be more sort of standalone, its own thing, if that makes any sense.
Yes, like, it does.
But there's certain sensibilities that are the same that link them. Like when I did. For DC, I did the cover design for All-Star Superman and All-Star Batman and Robin the Bold Wonder.
Which
and
I love those.
So we knew, that it was a limited run and it's going to be 12 issues of each. Although, I guess, the Batman one, I guess, ended it around 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think of comic books. I think of going into a comic book store and what's going to really stand out because there's so much vying for your attention.
Right. Exactly.
And I tend to go more simple, more minimalist because. Usually what you have is, on comic book covers, you have, a logo that someone spent, a lot of time and effort on, or whatever it is, that sort of is usually a piece of art in and of itself, and then it sort of slaps onto another piece of art, which is usually by somebody else, that somebody else has spent a lot of time on. So what you get a lot of the time is something that ends up looking very busy. Now, I'm speaking in generalities here.
Right. Yes.
There's lots of exceptions to this where you see that the design is very understated in a pleasant way. I mean, I'm trying to think. You know, I mean, look at BT3.
Yes.
Really, really nice. Really nice. The typography just kind of like, it's exactly what it needs to be. I don't know who designed them, but very impressive to me. Because the project itself is going to get so much attention, and the art is so strong that the logo can just kind of like sit back and just be, let the art literally be the hero. So, those are just some of my thoughts about how cover design works. Books and novels, and all of the above at this point, the design needs to work if it's small.
Right.
But that was a lesson I learned in design school before the computer ever came along. That's why people do what are called thumbnail sketches, because the basic tenet of graphic design is if it looks good small, it's going to look fantastic when you blow it up.
Right.
Much bigger. And I just think in general that's true. And now, of course, we blow things up by double-clicking on them.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to work small first.
Yeah, it's a good baseline to go by.
Right, definitely. And we'll get into just a little bit about your all-star covers, but I just kind of wanted to first ask you just about Batman. I mean, when did your love for Batman begin? Because from what I've read and seen, you are as big of a Batman fan as we are.
Right.
Well,
not knowing at all how old you are, and I'm not going to ask you, but...
London plays 16 to 24 out here in L.A.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I mean, at this point, Batman's 75 years old, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a very generational thing. So
definitely.
I'm 52. I mm-hmm. was 2 years old when the Batman TV show with Adam West debuted on ABC. And I had a brother who was 2 years older than me. So I wanted to do everything that he was doing and like everything that he liked. He was really into the Batman TV show, and we would sit and watch it. And that really what started it. And then the comic book sort of accompanied that. And this was all, 66, 67, 68. And it was a real rebirth for the character.
Right.
And then it all sort of went from there, and I just stayed a fan. I was never not a fan after that, but it was very, very interesting to see how the characters evolved. I was talking to somebody yesterday, because it's interesting, because I have lots of friends who are not in the comic book world at all, or mm-hmm. the world, or any of it. And so it's interesting to try and explain things to them. And I was talking to one of them last night, because it's day three of the show, and, your head is buzzing with all this stuff. And I said, the interesting thing about Batman and that whole mythology is that it's adapted to the cultural zeitgeist in ways that other characters just don't. And I think the two best recent examples are Tarzan and the Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
They capital T, keep trying to make those characters relevant to now, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
Whereas with Batman, when you do it right, it does. And for the most part, it's done right, whether it's Bruce Timm doing the animated series, Frank Miller doing Dark Knight, Chris Nolan doing Dark Knight, up to Ben Affleck. it continues to resonate.
Definitely, and I completely agree with you about the evolution of Batman over the 75 plus years. His visual evolution is just extraordinary, and I would assume it would be almost a graphic designer's dream. And what are your what are your thoughts on crafting Batman, whether it's in story or through logo or his actual costume design? I mean, I'm sure there's so much you can work with and so much you can do. How do you decide, depending on what you're doing, to craft Batman?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I tell people that part of why Batman is so popular is that Batman, the character itself, is really great design.
Yes.
And you can sort of vary the costume endlessly, but stick to the basics, and it works as an icon.
Mm-hmm.
I've done so many different kinds of Batman projects at this point. It all depends on what the project is to determine, when you say crafting, to determine how any given work is going to look. I mean, obviously, Batman in Japan, that was all pre-existing artwork. I mean, that wasn't...
Right, exactly.
New artwork for that.
Right.
I'm just using it in a different way. But, you know, my graphic novel, Batman Death by Design, that's much more of having to figure out from a blank page what's going to happen.
Right.
And that, of course, is with the amazing artist Dave Taylor.
Yes, Dave Taylor's work is brilliant in that. The whole story, both his illustrations and then your writing, they do come together and they give this the particular tone, which I did want to talk to you about since we're talking about Death by Design. I mean, when Death by Design came out, there was Nolan's The Dark Knight Rises was coming out, and then other Batman works were out, including Jeff Johns' Batman Earth One. And how did you decide to kind of put Batman in this almost late 30s, early 40s
right.
kind of noir type setting when all of these other Batmans around you are starkly different? So how did you craft Batman to fit that storyline?
Well, it was this kind of like dream job in a lot of ways, because that whole project was born out of an event that I did with Neil Gaiman at the 92nd Street Y, and I was asked to interview him on stage for the celebration of the 25th anniversary of Sandman. And so at the time, he was writing a Batman story for Detective like number 600 or something like that. I probably have the number wrong, but it was, you know, seminal.
One of the big issues.
One of the big. And he was starting to talk about the story he was writing, which sounded really, really great. And I'm sort of, you know, like geeking out and blah blah blah. And then afterwards, backstage, Dan DiDio, the editor-in-chief of DC Comics, came up to me and said, you know, I didn't realize you were such a Batman fan. You should do a Batman graphic novel for us. And I said, you know, you really shouldn't say that unless you actually mean it. I really mean it. You just need to follow up and let's do it. And so it was kind of amazing, because all of a sudden, As huge a Batman fan as I am, it wasn't like I had some, you know, story burning within me for decades that I was just dying to tell.
Right.
The whole thing became its own kind of mind problem. And, you know, knowing what as much about the character as I do, like, what kind of void would there be to fill? Because so much has been done.
Right.
And so, you know, I started I sort of think that, you know, the title came first, which is not the way you're supposed to do it. but I just, no one had that title. It seemed perfectly tailored to me and what I do.
Right.
And so we had that. And then, you know, I started thinking about, you know, when I was a kid, I always had, you know, I would see Metropolis by Fritz Lang, and think, oh my God, can you imagine if there was like a Batman movie that looked like that? And so, you know, that was one, you know, at least take an art direction that I had been longing to see. And it sort of went on from there. My editor on the book was Mark Chiarello, who did an amazing job.
Yes.
And he hooked me up with Dave Taylor, and it took Dave 3 years to draw it. And you can see every minute of that on the page.
Right.
That's unusual, isn't it, to take that long?
I mean, look, it all depends. I mean, we thought we could get it done in two, and it took a third for him to just, you know, finish doing the art.
Well, you can definitely see that in the work. I mean, all his penciling is incredible.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he sort of, quote, digitally inked it. To maintain the pencil quality, but then, you know, the way he uses light, it's really just quite extraordinary.
Right.
But I think, you know, it's certainly different than, like, doing a monthly book, obviously.
Yes.
Because that's really brutal. I mean, this was its own thing, and I think they announced it, but they don't schedule it until they know when it can actually be delivered. And even then, like, you see what happens with some kinds of monthly books. It's like, it's just the schedule is so crushing that, you know, the books get delayed and what have you.
Right.
So, you know, but everybody was very patient. We all thought it was worth waiting for.
No, it seems like it definitely was. And like you said, I mean, the title is so fitting because with all of the architectural design and kind of how the book is based around the city and the architect and everything, it definitely illustrates even more how Batman's, his actual design is so important to, I think, permeating the feel of the character, I think, more than than others. I'm sure just trying to design that and just give the reader that feel of Batman, no matter what era or anything like that.
That's really cool. We should take a break real quick. We're going to go and hit up some sponsors here. If anybody would like to be a commercial sponsor for this show and hit your core demographic of thousands of listeners, please contact me, mason@meltcomics.com. We'd love to have you help keep this show going because we need sponsors.
Get to Kohl's starting Thursday and get your family ready for fall with 40 to 50% off Sonoba Goods for Life apparel and footwear and 50 to 60% off sheets, blankets, and throws. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100. Everyone gets Kohl's cash too. Now that's the good stuff. Kohl's. Select styles offer valid 10/13 through 10/23. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
We're back!
Yes, hey. And we are discussing Chip Kidd's Batman and his graphic design on this amazing character.
Awesome. Let's go.
Woo. So I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about, since we're talking about different Batmans and different eras, I want to talk to you about a Batman manga and how you kind of got into that when you were watching the 66 show. And I mean, I've also heard that you are a huge collector of Batman memorabilia and things of that nature. Did you collect anything that was like Batman manga, that was Batman from Japan? How did that kind of come about, and how did that turn into your history of Batman in Japan?
Well, the history is kind of complicated, but it goes back to the early 1990s and the Amazing Batman Year One artist, David Mazzucchelli.
Yes.
So he had done a cartoon fellowship in Tokyo for a year, and then he returned, and I think we were having dinner one night or something like that, and he said, you know, there were original Japanese Batman comics in the 60s when the TV show came out. And he said, you know, I hadn't seen any, but people kept telling me about them. And he said, the artist was a guy who co-created a character named Ace Man. And that was amazing to me, because when I was a kid, I used to watch Ace Man cartoons on cable television. They were imported, you know, into one of these, like, kiddie shows, Ultraman and Astro Boy. And so there was... So that kind of, like, lit the spark. And then it wasn't actually until eBay came along that I was able to even see or find any of this stuff. In the meantime, I formed a friendship with a co-collector in Chicago named Saul Paris, who had much better and stronger ties to Japanese contacts for vintage manga than I did. And so we sort of, you know, became friends, and the project started to grow. And then once we had enough of this, you know, vintage manga material that we thought we could make a substantial book, and that was also with, you know, the toys and the memorabilia and paper goods and all this other stuff, I put together a proposal. I mean, there's no rule book way to do this, but you know, more is always better than less. And so I put maybe a 40-page visual proposal together, and I got an audience with Paul Levitt, who was the then president of DC.
Yes.
Yes, we know Paul.
He's great. And I'll never forget that meeting. He sat and looked at all of this, and he basically said, I've never seen any of this before, which is really saying something, because he knows everything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he said, we need to get this vetted by our legal department. and then once we do that, if that all, you know, pans out, and it did, as in, did they still own the rights to it, then you can do your book. And so it was really, really quite amazing. And then I, through just a totally random contact, I found somebody who found somebody who could interview the artist, Jiro Kawada, who was still alive, living north of Tokyo, and so I got somebody to interview him for the book, and it sort of went on from there. But yeah, it was really, all of these books, I know it makes me sound like some kind of Pollyanna or something, but I don't do any of these projects unless I 100% love them.
Right. And
I mean, you know, I'm certainly, believe it or not, I'm certainly not doing it for the money. not that, well, anyway, it, you know, something like Batman, I mean, like, nobody's going to get rich off of that. It's what it was for me, as a fan, but it was like a, it was like doing a pop cultural, I mean, it's cross-cultural, obviously, but it was like the scavenger hunt. It's like the ultimate scavenger hunt of, you know, when I was doing interviews for it at the time, I kept things like being a Beatles fan and discovering that they recorded an album in Tokyo in the 60s and nobody, and then never released it.
Right.
Because that's what this really was like. You know, these stories had been printed one time in totally ephemeral comic book anthologies for Japanese kids. And frankly, the fad in Japan, the Batman fad in Japan in 66, 67 burned out even quicker than it did in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so once it did, that was kind of the end of it. And, you know, nobody had reprinted them. And there were some bootleg reprints, but very, very poor quality, et cetera, et cetera. And so now, you know, finally, I think, what were like 3 years ago, they reprinted all of the Kawada Batman stuff in, you know, three small black and white volumes.
Yes.
Is that available here in the U.S. at all?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool.
And you can buy it here or even digitally. I know the DC Comics app, if you're interested, has it. I have all the volumes, so
cool.
If you want to read it, which I have it, and they're amazing stories. I mean, and it's so fascinating that it was so hot during the Batmania, I suppose, of the 60s, and then it went away, but it really was, it almost was like a lost art form of Batman for decades.
Yeah.
And so when it kind of emerged back, I know everyone was as surprised as Paul Levitz or anybody, because these are great stories, and the art is amazing too, and it's just, it's crazy how it just kind of disappeared, or it almost didn't exist. So So The Secret History of Batman in Japan is a great book. And the way that you designed it is amazing as well. When you had to kind of craft it together, I know you put the proposal, then once everything got into motion, how did you want to present this lost art form? Because it is something completely new to a large audience, most people. So what was your process in terms of trying to really convey this moment in Batman's history within the Japanese culture? And designing the book.
Well, my art direction for stuff like this, including my most recent book on Charles Schulz and The Art of Peanuts, called Only What's Necessary, is I'm very artifact oriented.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm trying to create an experience for the reader so they feel like they're gauging through the actual comic as it really look, as opposed to, you know, scanning it in and, quote, cleaning it up, or just turning it into black and white line art. But I really, you know, I want to get the texture of the paper. The printing, frankly, wasn't so great on a lot of that, but some of it resembles, you know, Japanese woodblock print, and it's really kind of wonderful for that reason. So, you know, And then you're going to photograph a toy or a robot or whatever, then that becomes a bit of a different, you know, set of problems. You know, like, how do we light it? What color background do we put on it? Or is it just black? Or is it just white behind it, et cetera? You know, it all depends on what the piece is.
Right.
And I work with this photographer named Jeff Spear, and I've worked with him for about 25 years now. And he's an amazing guy. But, you know, as you look at the mythology book, you know, I use the same method, but it looks much different because the artists are different.
Yes, of course, which the mythology is a beautiful book. And I wanted to quickly ask you about that, since mythology has all of the amazing, iconic figures in DC Comics. Did any of that, their history, their context, their background, when you were designing the book, did that any of that come into play, or was it just mostly the aesthetic of Alex Ross's work?
Well, it's interesting to me what I try to, like, that book to me is almost a biography of Alex through, told by the artwork.
Yes.
And so I, you know, yes, of course, it's an art book, but it's really a story about how do you become an artist? How do you, you know, your passion for this stuff since you were a little kid, and how do you, you know, it's interesting. Like, I could go through that book, and there's like this seminal moment where it's like, okay, now he's become Alex Ross. And I think it was the cover that he did for a novelization of the Doomsday story, of the Superman Doomsday story.
Yes.
And it's like, ah, okay, that's when he figured out his style. And you know, it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me. But it's about telling a story about the creative process, what it means to be an artist. He does everything by hand. There's no computer work. You know, I think it's quite amazing.
No, definitely. That book and everything that you've put together to really capture, at least for your Batman books, the essence of Batman or the characters has been amazing. I'm a fan of your black and white story. And I also quickly just wanted to note, you redid the first story for Detective Comics 27 for the 75th anniversary. And So what was your experience recreating that first Batman story?
Well, that was, for that, I definitely have Brad Meltzer.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
He's a friend, and I've known him forever. And I actually designed the first two covers, the covers of his first two novels. The Tenth Justice. And I forget what the second one was called, but that goes way, way back. And then, so we had this sort of like professional friendship, and then we found out that we were both comic book geeks. Anyway, I think because they got Brad to rewrite The Case of the Chemical Syndicate so that it actually makes sense. And then I think it was his idea of like to get me to re-break it down from the original art with the new dialogue, with the new text. And it was a really interesting, really interesting project.
No, I mean, I personally enjoyed it, especially all of the covers that came out that time to celebrate Batman's 75 years, because that's incredible, 75 years. And I think with the projects you've done with Batman, within DC, it definitely focused on Batman as a, like I said, it's a graphic designer's dream. I think the way that Batman looks, it really shows the how Batman is the character itself, his personality, his persona, his character. And I think that graphic design with any character is important, and I believe you do an amazing job with that. And I've enjoyed your work on Batman and just your graphic design as a whole.
Well, thank you. And so I appreciate your interest. And what I'll leave you with is, I don't know if you're aware of this project. Like, if you look at this thing, Kevich, he did for me, and you mentioned my Batman black and white story.
Yes.
I've had the obsession for about 4 years of buying up blank sketch variants of Batman black and white number one.
Okay.
And then getting different artists to draw on them.
Oh, wow.
I finally got Sienkiewicz, Kevin McGuire. I just picked up here at the convention. It's been really interesting. And what I'm going to quote, do with them eventually is collect them in a book to benefit the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not sure when it's going to happen. Hopefully next spring or summer.
Okay.
But when it does, it's going to be the most amazing collection of Batman drawings you've ever seen.
Wow. I'm definitely looking forward to that. Okay, so what are you working on right now? Is there anything you want to share, any projects, particular things people want to look out? I know you just talked about your Batman Black and White cover series, but is there anything else that you're doing right
well,
now?
Well, what I'm working on, putting the finishing touches on right now, is 10 years ago, I put out a monograph of my work called Book One, and it covers my work from 1986 to 2006. And so a year from now, Book Two will come out, and it covers my work from 2007 to 2017.
Oh,
that's
great.
Yeah. So, and Neil Gaiman did one of the introductions.
Nice.
Nice. That's really cool.
And so, yeah, that's what I'm doing now, and, you know, also starting the next 30 years at Knopf Random House.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Good times.
Definitely. So where can everyone find you to keep updated on that project and everything else that you're doing?
I just do three main things.
Okay.
I have a website, which is just chipkid.com. I do Facebook and I do Twitter. And for now, that's what I keep up with.
Okay, that's perfect.
That's plenty.
You know, anybody can follow me there and see what's going on. And I try to be good about posting stuff every couple of days.
That's better than me.
Yeah, I've been tweeting out the Batman covers. It's fun.
Okay, great. I can't wait to see that. That's amazing that you're doing that collection. So, first of all, thank you so much, Chip Kidd, for coming on and talking about your love of Batman. I always love when creators are fans of the figures that they work with. That's always amazing to me because you give more heart into your work, I think, if you enjoy it. Just like you said, you don't take on a project unless you really love it, which I definitely admire and appreciate. So thank you for talking
Thank you. I appreciate your appreciation. I've been very lucky to be able to do what I'm doing.
Yes. So I hope you have a great rest of the day at New York Comic Con. And it seems like you survived the crazy, hectic week there.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was great.
Yes, that was amazing talking to him.
Yeah,
I have been
a
fan.
What a cool guy.
Yes, so cool. And I have been a fan of his work for a very long time, especially his history of Batman in Japan. I have read that book, and I was introduced through that to read the actual Batman manga. And it's incredible how much is there, and then it just almost vanished. And
this is fascinating to me.
Yes, like, it totally is.
I didn't even really know about it, but now I really want to read it.
No,
check
definitely.
It out.
And
although we had talked, you're going to come talk about it.
Yes, we're going to talk about it, especially this, so that would be perfect for your anime addict. Yes,
which
definitely.
Is so we a small comeback. I hope.
So you definitely talk about that, and then all of the other Gotham Knight and everything.
Oh yeah,
and
so good.
We didn't mention it while we were on the phone with him, but for the launching of his Batmanga book, he did it here at Meltdown Comics.
What up?
So if you do come to Meltdown Comics, there is a huge poster of the Batmanga on the wall above the toy collection.
Check it out.
Chip Kidd is a friend of Meltdown, and we appreciate you coming on the show. And it really opened up what I've always believed, that the way Batman looks, his aesthetic, his design really captures his character, I think, more than others. And so I always appreciate when graphic designers such as Chip Kidd come in and they try to craft this character who has evolved so much and show all of the different sides of Batman. It's really cool.
I think it's really cool. His silhouette is so definitive.
Yes.
And that goes back to what Chip Kidd was saying about the thumbnail. Like, if you can nail the shape in the thumbnail, then mm-hmm. when you blow up, it's awesome. And
right.
I was like, you're right. It's a totally... I'm looking at his silhouette right now.
Yes.
It's totally definitive.
Definitely.
So that's great.
So yes, this was great. So yes, of course, follow him on Twitter and Facebook and his website, chipkidd.com. And of course, if you guys want to follow me and for...
Where
and,
can they find you?
Well, first of all, you can always contact me at historyofthebatman@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments about this interview or requests for future episodes or people you want to hear on the show, you can always email me. You can become a Gothamite and follow on Instagram at instagram.com/historyofthebatman, on Twitter at histofthebatman, and on Facebook at History of the Batman. So yes, you can always contact me, DM me, anything just to talk, great feedback about the show, which I appreciate everyone who listens each week. I love the feedback and people saying, oh, they loved this episode, they loved this about it, and I appreciate the listeners.
Yeah,
really,
and I'm going to reach out again. You know, we need some reviews on iTunes, guys.
Yeah.
I'd love some
so
fresh,
far, some
fresh
have been coming
blood.
In, and I appreciate your guys' feedback.
They were great.
Yes, so thank you. So, yes, please on iTunes, if you go, and if you haven't subscribed already, you should
definitely subscribe.
Yes, because we always have amazing topics and then guests, and it's always fun. If you love Batman, this is the podcast to listen to.
Yeah, and the and the reviews and the subscriptions are how the word spreads. That's how iTunes knows to put us out there, so that the word spreads that we exist.
Right. So yes. So please subscribe, rate if you like this, give it 5 stars, or put a review. Just like I said, I love feedback. I always want to keep improving the show for you guys, since you're the listener. So let me know your thoughts about the episodes. And like we've mentioned in a previous episode, from where I think this is our 60th episode, I believe. I think we're in episode...
Maybe.
I think so. I think this is 60. And if it's not, we're right there.
We're close.
We're close. If it's not the 60th...
We're definitely close.
We're close. And so 60 episodes in the show has definitely shaped into...
Oh, my God. I think you're right.
We are.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure this is the 60th episode, which is crazy.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
London,
yes, it is.
We should have mentioned that at the beginning of the
show. No. It's fine. But,
oh
yes,
God.
60 episodes in, which is amazing. And
longest running show on the network.
Woohoo! That's awesome.
So it
definitely has improved and progressed over time. I sound much different from my first episode to the 60th, I don't know. I think.
Anyone check out her interview in the beginning versus this one? You're freaking Barbara Walters. That's what's going on.
I mean, I definitely am trying to improve. So I do appreciate all the
success.
Feedback. Yes, and so yes, 60, and I hope we go for another 60.
Easily.
Yes.
That's it.
Sorry. Yes, of course. Thank you for everyone for listening and tuning in.
Thank you, London.
Peace, love, and Batman.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Cutting Edge Cinema, award-winning filmmakers, historic downtown theaters. The Santa Fe Independent Film Festival is New Mexico True. Discover why the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival has been named one of the country's best, October 19th through 23rd. Plan your trip at newmexico.org/trueevents.